The Balut Kiki Project is a proud member of Bunk Collective. This Balut Kiki Project contains themes, depictions, and language of an adult and mature nature. Listener discretion is advised. The opinions expressed in this project are not meant to replace the advice of professionals. Thank you.
This is the Balut Kiki Project.
What the f*** is Balut?
Banter for the boys and the girls and us freaks in the middle.
A Kiki is in order.
The Balut Kiki Project.
Uniquely Pinoy.
Unapologetically queer.
Lock the door tight.
We are serving you unadulterated Balut Kiki in 5, 6, 7.
It's another day, it's another project. Welcome to the Balut Kiki Project. I am Mel. Uy, kung first time yung makinig sa amin, welcome and thank you for joining us. Huwag niyong kalimutang i-click ang follow, like, or subscribe button para wala kayong ma-miss na future projects namin. If you've been here before, welcome back and thanks for joining us again. Here's my friend Jeff to tell you who will be joining us for this project.
Thank you, Mel, and salamat sa inyong lahat for joining us on another project. Huwag niyo pong kalimutan to press the follow, the like, and the subscribe button. And follow us on all our social media accounts. Itong paalala lang po, if you want to be a part of the project, by supporting our show, you can go to www.buymeacoffee.com/balutkiki. Mel, we have scored a coup with this project.
Absolutely.
And I'd like to do a... I'd just like to make a special mention to Erica Icon of the Rub PR, our guest publicist, for helping facilitate this guesting for us. So I say, Mel, that this is a coup because in line with our podcast advocacy to normalize conversations about sex and sexuality and non-traditional orientations pertaining to these things, we have invited somebody who can talk about these things on a personal level. From a very personal perspective. So, our guest has been making the rounds of the Exotica shows across the U.S. It's the largest event of its kind in the U.S., Mel. It's a three-day adult-themed expo. It's like a Comic-Con for the adult industry. So, she has her own booth and has been doing seminars for these expos. Her seminars are entitled Live in Your Truth, a sex-positive seminar, and Finding Your Inner Sexuality and Truth, a sex-positive seminar. Mel, we need these seminars in the Philippines.
Absolutely, she's been filming
a documentary about her life and working on her second book. Her first book, entitled When the Ice Melts, The Story of Coral and Jewel, was released in 2020 and was an international bestseller. And it told the story of her glory days as an ice skater, because she is a professional ice skater, and her life after. She's just launched a product. It's called Coral and CBD Lube, which was a big hit at the Chicago and the Miami Exotica Expo. Fans can buy it at jewelscbdlubricant.com. Mel, perfect stocking stuffer.
Yes,
you know what to get before Christmas.
We still have time.
A lot of time. She's a lifestyle club hostess, a lifestyle coach, a motivational speaker, a very, 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 very busy wedding planner. She's the host of her very own podcast entitled The Hanky Panky Podcast. Very fun. I've listened to it. She's a prolific adult performer who has made her mark in the mainstream and adult arena. Bessies, please welcome to the Balut Kiki Project our very special guest, Miss Coraline Jewel. Coraline, welcome to our project.
You guys, wow, thank you for having me. That was quite an introduction.
Well, you've been doing quite a lot of things.
You've been busy.
Oh my God, I got tired listening to my bio.
No, but I know that you've been busy.
You're a very busy lady.
I am.
In the process of inviting you, you were doing a lot of things. And I'm like, I was just in awe.
Thank you for having me, you guys.
We're very happy to have you, Coraline. Just before we pressed record, we told you a little about the Philippines and the culture. The Philippines is the largest Catholic country in the Far East. But having said that, if you research, the Filipinos have been the top visitors on the website Pornhub. We spend an average of 13 minutes and 50 seconds in Pornhub. We are the number one visitors, Filipinos, for like, I think, 5 years running.
Okay. So, I can understand that, because if you're sheltered, right?
Yes.
So we're a Catholic country who likes to watch a lot of porn.
In secret.
I don't blame you. When you keep something away from people, they're going to go and get it more. If you make it open and you make it acceptable, then it's not going to be chased after as much. So
That's true.
We should keep it away from you guys so you keep coming to watch me on my
And I would just like to tell you this, Coraline, that when I told a really good friend of mine that you were going to come, we were in the process of inviting you, this person knew you. And he told me that he grew up watching you. And so this is Denden. So yeah, so Denden, she's here.
Oh my God. Well, hi, honey.
So there's a very huge market for the adult film industry in this very hypocritical society. If there are any porn actors out there, especially male porn actors, send us an email.
We'd love to have you over.
Oh, okay. I can give you that. You want some men on your show.
Yes.
Oh my God, Coraline, please.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, I can send you some new ones, and then some that have been around for the golden era, like back in 1975, like Sean Elliott or Eric Edwards.
Oh my God.
Absolutely. I can send
you. That would be amazing.
Coraline, you are being recorded right now. So this is
you can't say you didn't say it. You proved.
I've been held to it. No, you know, I love what you guys are doing, because you guys are doing what I'm doing in my podcast, you know, in a different way. You know, it's about stopping the judgment and starting the acceptance of sexuality and accepting it, and sex positivity and not, you know, body shaming and non-judgment and all these kind of things that I'm doing here, you guys are doing there. Anything that I can do to help you guys.
Your resume, your CV is very extensive. And one thing that really stands out is that you were an athlete who trained for the Olympics. Tell us about that.
So I was born in South Africa, and we immigrated to the United States. So I was born in South Africa. We immigrated to the United States when I was about 3 years old. Okay. And of course, I don't remember back when I was three, but what I've been told is that my father took me to the local ice rink, and my entire life from that day on was, I want to be an Olympic. I want to go to the Olympics. As I grew up, I knew that I was not good enough to be an Olympic figure skater as a single skater. Okay, so I knew that. Mm-hmm. So I started taking a look at pair skating, so skating with a partner. And then I realized that my father told me that up until the age of 18, I still had dual citizenship. I held a South African passport and I held a United States passport. And so at 18, I was going to have to give up one or the other, is what I was told. And so I was now contacting the South African government and saying, do you have any pair skaters to represent your country? They did not. And so that was my goal. My goal was, okay, wait a second. I can go to South Africa. I can go to the Olympics to represent South Africa in the Olympics. That was my entire life. So my whole life as a child was go to the Olympics and then own my own Cirque du Soleil show and travel the world. And that was my goal.
Wow.
And an injury with a skating partner who dropped me in, I was living in Wisconsin, caused my entire, I was 18 and like, I was like 17 and a half, 18 years old. So just out of high school, didn't get go to college, and my dreams were shattered because as much painkillers as I was taking, I knew I'm not going to make it. Like, there's just no ways. Mm. And so, and that's kind of where my life changed, because I had to make a decision on all those childhood dreams of where I was going. Now what? What am I going to do?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where my life took a turn. But skating was a huge part of my life, a huge part.
Reading about you on the different sources on the internet and listening to your podcast, you put very, very a huge focus on, you know, fitness. Trained for the Olympics, you were a figure skater. One of the greatest misconceptions, at least in the Philippines, about the porn industry is that people who get into porn are like not healthy, are into drugs. Is this one of the greatest misconceptions about the porn industry?
It's exactly what I talk about on my podcast, is that I try to explain to my listeners that just because you are involved in the porn industry, whether you are a performer, a director, a camera operator, or whether you are involved in the swinger lifestyle community or polyamory or anything like that, doesn't mean you were raped as a child. Doesn't mean that you have drug addiction. And I'm not saying that there is not that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, of course, you have adult performers that are 18, 19 years old and they're just in it for the money or whatever. But overall, you know, my experience, as I'm always talking from my experience, is that a lot of the people that you meet in this industry are highly educated, college educated, master's degrees, mm-hmm. and made the choice to switch to the industry because it was a better lifestyle for them. You know, they could spend mm-hmm. time with their children. Financially, they were more stable, stuff like that. And so the same mm-hmm. thing that you guys are trying to get your listeners and your country to understand is that, mm-hmm. you know, I'm an example. You know, I went to private school. Okay. Mm-hmm. My grades was my ice skating. If I got a B, so I don't know how it is in the Philippines, but we have A, mm-hmm, B, C. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if yeah, I got a B, mm-hmm. that was held over my head. You're not skating. You're not training. You're not going to this competition.
Oh, so you really had to work for your grades.
I had to, yeah. How I had to work to keep, you know, yeah. I didn't get birthday presents. I didn't get, you know, holiday presents. I'm Jewish. I didn't get Christmas presents. But they would say, you know, happy birthday. Do you still like ice skating? And I would say, yeah, why? And they were like, you want to go to that competition? And I was like, yeah, why? And they were like, happy birthday. And I'm like, okay, you know, mm-hmm. that's fair enough. It's an expensive sport.
Yes.
You know, that's how I grew up. And, you know, I got into the industry, which I'm sure we'll get into later. But mm-hmm. same thing as you. I want to prove to people that, you know, I was never raped. I was never mm-hmm. abused. I do not have a drug addiction. I do not have an alcohol addiction. And mm-hmm. I got into it just by, like, in my seminars, I say a curveball was thrown at me. And I was like, I don't mm-hmm. know what to do with that. And I,
yeah.
You
know? So it's just like another job. And the same manner that there are a lot of people in the corporate world who use drugs, you know? I mean,
yeah. Yeah. In every field, there are people who have poor experiences in their past or bad childhood or abuse.
Of course. Absolutely. And also, you know, we talk about, like, you know, the swinger lifestyle community, you know, like, mm-hmm. oh, well, you know, you have a bad relationship with your husband or your wife, and that's why you're, mm-hmm. you want to cheat on them or whatever. Mm-hmm. And people and you come from, you know, your white trash in a low class home. And they don't realize that, like, half my members are federal agents and attorneys and mm-hmm. surgeons and
professionals.
Know, it's not what people think. And that's why I think mm-hmm. there's people like you and me and, you know, advocates out there that are trying to educate. Stop the judgment. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about.
Does that tick you off or
pisses me off? Can you tell?
pisses me off.
Not just tick.
Yeah. You have to be patient to be able to educate, right?
One day I was just saying, you know, it's one step at a time. You know, it's one person that stands up in my seminar. So in my seminar, I'll say at the end of it, I'll say to them, you know, if there's anybody in here that has the guts to stand up and say to me, Coraline, this was the worst seminar ever. I just wasted 45 minutes of my life. Thank you so much. Or are you going to stand up and say, you know what, Coraline, you gave me the courage to go home and tell my father, you know what? I'm a webcam performer, or I'm an adult performer, or I'm a swinger. And so what? You love me unconditionally no matter what. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not doing drugs. You know, I'm, you know, and that.
Yeah. Whatever.
So when I get that one person that says, oh my God, you just gave me the courage to do this. I go, all right, then I'm doing what I want to do.
Good job.
You guys are doing it too.
One person at a time. You enter the industry, the adult entertainment industry, relatively late.
Yes.
And you started as a camera operator and a director behind the scenes. So how did you make the crossover from behind the camera to being the star?
So I have a degree in theatrical production. As I said, my goal was to get a degree in theater and then go on to own my own Circus du Soleil show. And then marry and children and all that took me a different direction. And I was, long story short, going through a divorce. I went through a divorce and I needed to make money and I was modeling. And when I was modeling, I was, somebody had put me on a site for modeling and I found a job and then I started dancing. And then that site that I was dancing on, I found a job as a director in porn. Okay. So camera operator, director, production assistant. And when I would go to set, I would drive 3 hours to Los Angeles. I'd be on set all day. Okay. 3 hours home. Okay. $300
check. 6 hours.
Yeah. So you're talking 6 hours of driving plus you're talking on set all day. My performers, the models, they would not show up hair and makeup ready. They wouldn't show up with, you know, the attire that we told them to. And it was a male talent performer that looked at me and said, why are you not a performer? And I'm like, because I'm like 35 years old. And he was like, and I'm 35 years old. And he was like, you know, you should do it. And that's what made me like think about it and go, you know what? He's right.
Yeah.
He's right. Mm. You know, I mean, the reason I'm in, you know, all I want to do is support my babies, right? Mm-hmm. And support my kids and spend time with my kids. I don't want to be this mother that doesn't get home till 9 o'clock at night and they're in bed. And I love to perform. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm not addicted to drugs or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I knew, like, wait a second, maybe this is something I should do. And so I did.
Yeah.
It.
Your first scene, there seems to have been a very interesting story about swallowing.
Oh my God. Did I hear that one? hide?
I don't know.
Nothing you can hide from us.
I told you were popular.
Oh my God. That was so funny. I got an agent and my first scene was for my agent's company, Big Gulp Girls. Okay. And
Big Gulp Girls. Okay.
Big Gulp Girls.
That says a lot.
When you
there's a hint there.
So ladies, listen, or men, when you sign up for an agency, they give you a checklist. What are your limits? What are your do's or your don'ts?
Uh-huh.
And I'm gonna tell you guys that even today, I can tell you what just happened to me 2 days ago. And the director, if he listens to this, he'll laugh his ass off. But is that sometimes you're a little, maybe, I don't want to say that you're shy, but you say my limits. Oh, okay, yeah, well, you know, I don't really like to be beaten up, or don't hang me from the ceiling, okay? Mm. But there are other things that you don't really like to do. So my limit, it says, I don't swallow, okay? And I cannot deep throat. Like, I can't, I mean, I've tried. I've had swingers in my community have to, like, try to train me with a toothbrush, and I'm like, I just gag. Mm. Can't do it. But I have other things that I'm good at. I can squirt, I can do anal, stuff like that. Mm. So first scene is for my agent, and it's Big Gulp Girls, and it's deep throat him and swallow. And I'm like, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? This is
so
your
what
agent.
What did you do?
You're gonna say no? No.
Wow.
Yep, no. I took it like a champ. And I did it.
Oh, such a trooper. You're speaking to an almost Olympian.
Oh my God.
So, yeah.
Oh, my God. So, right. So, but yes, not my specialty. Okay. But I did it.
This is testament to how good of a your degree coming into play, because you convince everybody that you're a pretty good actress.
Yeah, I got to say, sorry, I'm not like tooting my own horn, but acting I can do. So I get that a lot of times. I'm a webcam performer. So I'll get, you know, well, do you like to, are you a sub? Are you a dom? You know, can you be a mistress? Are you a goddess? Do you like to be told you're a slut? And I'm, you know, I tell people, I said, you know, in my real life, this is what I like sexually. Mm. Okay. On webcam, you're my customer.
Yeah.
I can be whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
Yeah.
And I will make you believe that I like it.
And you've been in the industry for more than a decade. How many films have you done?
I got into the industry at the age of 35. I got out of the industry at 30, almost 38. So my career, my career might have been in a different place now had I not like gotten out. And that's a story in my book. My sister found my Instagram account and she was older. She was 19. She contacted my brother. He was like 33. You would think that two adults, they would contact me and be like, okay, wait, we just found your Instagram. You're a porn star. You know, but they contacted my father and my father said, you know, I can't believe you're doing this. And where's your morals? And he pretty much threatened to disown me and disown my children. And at that point I had started running a wedding company too, as a wedding planner. And so I decided, you know what? Let me pursue that. Let me get out. I don't want my father to disown me or the kids. And so I stopped my career. And then as we'll, you know, progress with our interview, I decided that until you can accept who you are as a person and be proud of who you are, only then can you make others around you accept you for who you are. And
exactly.
So I got back into the industry 1 month before coronavirus decided to make its little way. I am like literally what I'm 2 years back in, but I've probably shot a lot. I don't know. For big companies, let's go with 50. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then
over those 3 years.
Yeah. And then now too, like I just shot 4 scenes 2 days ago and then I'm shooting one tomorrow. And then I shot another. I'm busy. I'm back in. Yeah. And I'm in full
very, very busy. Was it hard to get back? Did you find it easier because you've already had your foot in the door already?
Yeah.
And also,
was it like starting over?
So what's interesting, because I do my podcast, as I told you guys, you know, and then I have a weekly blog that goes along with it. And one of my blogs talks about that when I got back into the industry, everything had changed because in 3 years, DVDs, people weren't doing DVDs.
Yeah.
Anymore, okay?
Yeah.
And so there were, you know, there was Pornhub and there was OnlyFans, and all of a sudden it was more about like content trade and some of the big companies like my contacts from like Devil Films and Smash Pictures, they weren't doing stuff anymore. So it was like starting over because it was like, crap, you got to So, and you know, my contacts in the industry, they were changing the way they were doing things. But you know what they say, you got to go with the time and catch up with the time. And, I mean, I'm impressed that like, you know, you've got 65, 70 year old people that never had internet, cell phones, and they understand the texting and the Snapchat and the Instagram.
I'm
like, you guys got
so you had to learn that as well.
Yeah. All the social media. I mean, when I started, you didn't have to do social media. And then
that's
when
true.
I, when I started, like I started, my career started more like I was selling panties online and then custom videos. Uh-huh. And nowadays these bitches are selling their underwear for like $3. I'm like, man, you paid a dollar for it at least.
Yeah.
Okay? Costing you $2 to ship it. Okay.
Yeah.
And you got to wear it. Like, where's your money? Cause you get
yeah,
the
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. So it's changed a lot, but
so you have to be a businesswoman as well, don't you?
Yeah, and you got to know how business. To like outsmart the system.
Corlin, could you help us demystify the porn industry for us? Could you walk us through a porn shoot from call time to wrap? What happens? Like, so how does somebody you get booked for a certain scene? How does it work?
So let me give you two scenarios. Okay. So let's start with a professional one, because what I'm going to say is going to make you guys look at porn a whole different way. You're going to be like, ah, yeah.
Okay.
So try us. When you get booked for a professional company, okay. Mm-hmm. They do what's called pretty girls. Pretty girls are, so you can get booked a couple different ways. Either you have an agent. Okay. Your agent books you, you go to set, you do all your paperwork, and then you do the pretty girls, which is photographs. And then that's just normally the girl. And then they will do photographs of the positions that you are about to perform sexually in the film. And that is mostly done A, for their advertisement and for their, you know, their advertisement. I was going to say their DVD covers, but no, fuck that. That's done. So their advertisement. And then, oh my God.
God, we're old. Oh my God.
Isn't it, Mike, like our grandchildren will be like DVD. What? How do you say that?
Exactly. And at least it's DVD, not VHS. Come on.
Oh my God. My kids find those right now and they're like, what is this? And I'm like,
exactly.
You know? So, but anyway, so you do that. And then the reason you do the other pictures with your partner is so you know what sexual positions are going to be.
Oh, so even that's planned.
So you plan it. And that way you know where you're going. And then remember that when you're shooting in the industry, it's not like real sex because you're playing to the camera. So you're opening up in a position that might not be the most comfortable position. And if you're shooting what's called POV, so it's point of view, the man's holding the camera. So therefore the woman's doing all the work. So, depending on which company you're shooting for, okay, and who your talent is, you can do a shoot from beginning to end with no cuts, no stops, and, you know, it's done. But there's a lot of times that I've been on set that they've said, okay, cut, we're going to catch some softcore now. So that means no penetration. And, I'm like, I was going to say no insertion. Same thing. It's been a long
day. You're politically correct.
So I know, right? Oh my God. But and then I've had scenes where like, okay, now the director will say, okay, I've got enough content. You know, you've shot for 45 minutes. He's got all the positions he wants. Are you ready to pop? The male says he's not yet. Director's eating pizza. I'm checking my cell phone. Male's over there masturbating. And then he goes, I'm ready. I think I'm ready. And boom, he drops the pizza. I drop the cell phone. We come in for the pop shot. So it really depends who you're shooting with, what you're shooting, and the experience of the talent. And are there fake pops? I'm sorry, you guys. Yes, we have fake pops, you know. I said to somebody today, I said, you know, are you wanting a pop shot? And he's like, a what? And I'm like, a cum shot. And he's like, what? And I'm like, okay, I don't even know what other word to use.
What now? How do you call it now?
I'm like, I just said when your penis like says you're good, when you're done.
Ejaculates.
I was like, I don't even know what to tell you, buddy. Like, let's go back to
something. Yeah. Corlin, what about occupational hazards? Like, what about pre-testing? How does that happen?
So occupational hazards. So when I got into the industry, it was testing every 30 days.
Okay.
Now it's every 14 days. Okay. And then on top of that, they've now added the COVID test. And from my understanding, it's every 48 hours that you're supposed to do this COVID test. So now so for somebody like me that doesn't live in LA, okay.
Yeah.
I've got to now drive to a testing facility, get tested. That's like $200. And then you pay a draw fee, that's $25. And then you pay a shipping fee to get it all the way to Miami to get tested. And then on top of that, your COVID's included right now. But then if I need to go get the COVID again, it's another $35. And that drives back up to where I have to go. So if I can be an advocate for like one other thing, I think that there's a lot of production companies out there. In fact, I know there is, and I'm not going to say who, okay, but that are not doing or not requiring the 14-day test from the girls, okay?
Oh,
or the performers. They're requiring a 30-day because they know that if we are paying $250 for our test. Okay. Every 2 weeks. So as a performer, I'm going to get as much content and work as I can in my 2 weeks.
In between.
Right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Because so if I could do anything, I wish that we could figure out a way to lower the cost of our tests so that everybody would stick to
it. Encourages people to take
and
them.
Encourage us because what's interesting is that people think, oh, porn stars, you must have every like venereal disease. And it's actually, I've had like two STDs and they came from vanilla civilian relationship boyfriends who hadn't been tested and lied to me and told me they had. Because they just, you know, that's my biggest thing is being an advocate for the testing and making it affordable so that every single production company can maybe afford to do something where they help these performers too.
Yeah. And they just won't skirt around the requirement. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like I just went to Iowa to shoot, you know, and I had to pay for my test. And then I don't have an agent per se, but I have somebody to help me get in. So I give them a commission. So, you know, I may make $2,200, but I come home with $1,600 and that's, you know, 2 days of traveling plus 2 days on set. And you think like, I could do that webcamming, right? So
yeah, and not go anywhere.
Yes, exactly. And not, you know, deal with the plank. So that's my biggest thing is like, you know, let's try to make it where every single production company is like, I'm requiring 14 days because now your test is 125.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And also, if we're talking about advocating, if we want to keep people at home, porn has gotten people through the toughest times of the coronavirus. I mean, let's just be real here, Corey.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they say, so this is what's so crazy to me. So I don't know if you guys know the whole OnlyFans situation, but, you know, you've got these Visas and MasterCards that are now saying, you know, oh, we're not going to fund Pornhub. So now those of us that have a Pornhub page, okay, we only make money off of our stuff that's sold or the amount of clicks on our free shit, okay? But now they can't even accept Visa or MasterCard, so we ain't making no money, okay? So then you've got OnlyFans, where, you know, you can get your memberships and they take a percentage, blah, blah, blah. Then they come and say, okay, well, we're having the same problem, so we're getting rid of you guys. You know, even though the adult performer industry got OnlyFans going, then they realize, holy shit, we just got rid of like our biggest moneymaker.
Our golden goose.
Yes. So then they say to us, oh, you can come back. Okay. And then we go back. But like what other people don't understand is we were told we had to get all of our content off. Okay. By like October 18th or whatever it was. You can only delete 24 videos a day. So,
So that's a lot of work.
You've got 800, 900 videos on there. You're now going in, you're deleting 24 a day. Okay. And then I delete them. And then they say, we've changed our minds. Okay.
My goodness.
Now you're wasting another fucking, you know, 80 hours putting it back up.
Exactly.
But now they've changed the way you put it back up. They're now saying that you can't upload the IDs of the people that you're working with right there. Now they want you to fucking email them in because you don't got anything else to do with your time. So I am not a fan of OnlyFans. F you. Sorry for saying that. Putting that out there. Because I really, really think that they've made this, they're making it
just more difficult, it seems.
They're just making it so, I feel like we're going backwards. And in my podcast, I've interviewed Sharon Mitchell, Eric Edwards, Mickey Lynn, Sean Elliott, Herschel Savage, you know, these amazing performers that are back from the golden era. And I'm like, fuck, your guys' life was pretty damn good back then.
Yeah, it seems awful now.
I mean, you see all the social media accounts being pulled and, you know, I can't, my podcast, my Hanky Panky podcast, Instagram got rid of us because I said, you know, we're a sex positive podcast. So you can't say that. My CBD lube. Okay. God forbid if I put the word CBD and lube together.
Oh, no wonder some of our trailers got taken down.
So
I didn't know that.
It's really, that's that's another thing I'm really for is it's getting fucking ridiculous. It's getting ridiculous. That's it really is because we're going backwards.
So. Okay, let's keep pushing forward.
We're trying.
Different country,
and we're all just.
But it seems like it's
same shit.
Yeah, same. And the weird thing is, like, people can report for anything. They can just keep scrolling and ignore.
Yeah, so that's the other thing I was going to say. To go back to what you're saying, what happened when everybody lost their jobs? How many new OnlyFans accounts came from waitresses? And I don't know if you knew that story in New York. A paramedic from New York, she lost her job, during COVID. And so she opened up an OnlyFans. And then when she was allowed to go back, she got fired because they found out she had an OnlyFans. Really? What did she do wrong? She wasn't taking unemployment. She was able to support her children. Yes. And
she's not hurting anyone.
Exactly. So that pisses me off too. And then the other thing that you had said, what did you just said something about?
If you don't, reporting.
Oh, God, that pisses me off. So I'm a wedding planner. Okay. Uh-huh. You'll love this. In 2017, my bride's dancing with her father. It is a video that's reported to Instagram. Okay. It says to me, your video has been reported. You can fight this if you want to. So I fight back and I go, What's wrong with it? My bride's dancing with her friend. That was 2017. We're in 2021. I forgot about this. Okay. 4 days ago, I got a message from Instagram. Your video has been reconcealed and it's back on the it's back on your page. We apologize.
All fuck this you. Time. What? why was it taken down in the first place?
They never tell you why, right? Because when I wrote them and I said, what did I do with my hanky panky podcast? What did I do wrong? They never told me what. Mm-hmm. So I had to go back and like try to figure out. And I'm like, I said the word sex positive, but like so do 1,000 other people. Right?
Yes. Which part of that was wrong?
Anybody can report you for anything. And when you do, you then have to fight it. And like, I even found somebody told me that somebody was pretending to be me on Twitter. So I went to them. I'm Sweet Blue CJ. That is Sweet Blue J. Okay. You can see that they've put a fake OnlyFans or whatever. This is me. This is my ID. I still had to take days out of my own time to fight this person that was pretending to be me and trying to collect money from my fans. You see, that's what they try to do. You know, you want a naked picture of me? You want me to visit you in Germany? Send me money. And so to me, it's like this, it's a constant battle.
That's not really alien to us. This is our second Instagram account. I don't know why it was taken down the first time. And we now have people pirating our podcast. I mean, does this mean that we've made it?
There are now.
What do they do?
We have four fake.
There are four fake accounts with
versions of our podcast.
Yes,
with our content, with our trailer. Like, who are we? Who are we?
We're not even out there yet.
I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. And so it is crazy. And then if you notice, like, you've got all these adult performers and they've got, you know, their account. And then this is my backup account. This is my third backup account.
Yes.
I don't even, I mean, I've got my biggest following is my Instagram. And, you know, I've worked, I don't pay people to get me followers. I don't buy.
You do everything yourself.
Those are my followers. I want them there because they want me, not
organic.
And so if I lose that, like, I'll be devastated. And so you have to think like, oh, wait, I might not be able to post this. I think you can see my belly button. I think you can. Okay. I got to hide this. It's ridiculous.
Oh my gosh.
It's
just ridiculous. I didn't even know that. I just kept on posting sex talk. But anyway. Yeah.
That's why it got taken down. Yeah.
Do you know who you're going to work with on a scene? Can you say no? Yes. Like, I don't want to work with this person. He or she is not my type exactly. You can.
Absolutely. Oh, okay. Absolutely. And anybody that's listening to your show that is a new performer and your agent tells you that you're working with this person and you Google them and there's something about them that you don't like. Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're an escort and you're not comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. Maybe they do crossover porn. So it's a male that will also do gay porn. And whether or not you're comfortable or not comfortable, that's your choice. That's your decision. You have the right to say, I won't work with that person. We are told who our talent is. Sometimes there's changes. Okay, so sometimes you might agree, okay, you know, I'll shoot that scene. And then the day of the scene, they might say to you, so-and-so is very sick. We're putting so-and-so in that spot. Are you okay with that? Do your research, you know, do your research. Who is that person? Look at their Twitters, look at their Instagrams. Who's their agent? Do they have an agent? Why don't they have an agent? You know, all that kind of stuff. But you can decide. And as you get more and more well-known in the industry as well.
Yeah,
well, also you have, you know, I was working with two girls just a couple of, you know, 2 days ago. I was working with them for Private Society. And one's brand new. And we were doing a scene together. And I was told to lick her ass. Okay. And I was. And I was really proud of her because she spoke up and she said to the director, that's not really my thing. And he's like, oh, okay, stop. You know, and later on, I said, I'm very, very proud of you because you spoke up and said what you're comfortable or not comfortable with. And that's a good girl. And so, you know, you always just have to know that even if you're in a scene or you're comfortable, it's the same with the swinger situation. You're a couple, you go play with another couple, you're not comfortable. You don't have to stay. That's your body. You can say, you know what? I'm so sorry. I'm not comfortable. So always speak up. Always speak up.
So if you feel like you're not comfortable with your partner, will they find someone else for you?
In an adult scene, if you agreed to do the shoot, you know, so they say, okay, Coraline, we need you on set tomorrow. And this is who you're shooting with. Okay. Well, that's who I'm shooting with. I've agreed. Okay. If you get to set though, okay, and something is not right, something in your tummy doesn't feel right, okay, stop it. Okay. So I was talking to, you know, I was talking to somebody, and I'm not going to say much about this, but, you know, was telling me something that happened and what occurred and how they were new and they didn't know. And it's an awful story. It's awful, you know, and I wish that I had known this young girl, but she had gone, because that's what I do. I tell young performers, like, I don't charge you to write me and ask me. People helped me. I have people that even today, I can write a friend of mine, like somebody who's been in the industry a long time, and I can say, hey, this company wants to shoot with me. Are they legit? Are they not? Have you never heard of them? And help each other out, you know, and make sure that keep each other safe.
Keep safe. That's right.
Yeah, it's good. You look out for each other. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you got, just like in any world, you know, you got your bitches. But...
How many people are on set, Coraline?
So it's interesting because, you know, I'm doing my podcast now and I'm interviewing a lot of the Golden Era people that I told you about. And I'm like, what? $50,000 to do a movie? What? 4 days on set? Like, that's awesome. They had makeup and hair and wardrobe and green room and food and snacks and hotel. Yeah, no. And nowadays, like, your director is your camera operator, is your boom operator. Like, you just have like one person. It's usually just one. It's just one camera. If you shoot with a company and they offer hair and makeup, it's like you just got fucking dessert. You got the orgasm of your life right there. I'm like, Harry, I get hair and makeup. I get to be pretty. Like, you know, so.
Wow.
It's not what I understand.
It's not as glamorous as people might perceive it to be.
Not anymore. And that's because of the piracy that you talked about. That's because these production companies, even the company that I just shot with, their stuff gets stolen, even though, you know, it's a membership-based site. I mean, he was telling me, he's like, oh my God, Coraline, you should see the shit that gets stolen, the chargebacks that people do in the adult industry. So it really is an industry that has been under scrutiny and continues to be under scrutiny. And it's a constant fighting battle. But I will tell you this, I'm pretty impressed. When OnlyFans did what they did, man, did this industry get together and fucking fight?
Yeah.
And OnlyFans took them back.
Yeah.
But a lot of us had said, fuck you. You already turned your back on it. No, you're not. But it is an industry that sticks together. And as I do, like what you guys do, where I do my podcast, I just come across more educated and brilliant people. And I'm like, wow, we are really like an industry that sticks together. And yes, you get your bad seats. Good. Everything has your bad seats, you know.
Well, every industry has it.
Yeah. Have you ever worked with anybody or known anybody, Coraline, that was just over the top, like somebody who would probably smack your bottom just a little bit too hard or went overboard with dirty talk? How do you deal with that? Like, not really comfortable? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so that's let me give you the example about the limits. Okay. So me personally, so my experience thus far isn't, and I mean this, I really have never had a bad experience on set. Okay.
I've never
really worked with anybody on set that, I didn't like or overstep my boundaries or anything like that. Okay. But, you know, I worked with somebody the other day and, you know, she had asked me, you know, what are your limits? And I had said to her, well, you know, I don't really like, you know, I'm not like into being beaten. Okay. So like a BDSM, like where you beat or smack, I'm not into throat fucking, like where you, you know, beat the shit out of you with your cock, you know? And, but I also said to her, but I also know that this company, that's not their content. So I'm fine. You know? Well, what I neglected to say was the director says, one of you is going to take the cum in your mouth and then you're going to kiss the other one. And I was like, fuck, I don't want either of those roles. So I thought, well, if she takes the cum, okay, she's not really, I didn't think she was really going to hold it in her mouth and like bring it to me. I thought she would let it dribble. And then by the time she came to me, like it was dribbled more. And I, No. Mama came to me with like a mouthful. Put it in my mouth. And then I gagged. And my gag, you can hear on the video. So they either keep that in. So after that, like, you know, she said to me, she's like, you didn't tell me that was your limit. You don't do cuts called cum play. And I was like, now I have to add that to my list. So, and the director even said to me,
you were like, being a good girl.
He's like, Coraline, I made you do things you don't like. And I'm like, I know. But again, you know, here I am, 10 years later, and I'm still learning. Like,
learning.
That is, there you go. That's a limit. I should have said it. I didn't expect it.
Yeah.
You know, and I've had things like that happen on other sets, you know, where like a man would, you know, ejaculate in my mouth. And then mm-hmm. would you think that he would take it out of your mouth? And then I was like, oh, that's nice. And then we took it out. And then he gave it back. And I was like, I don't want it back. So again, now I know.
It's a very interesting day at work.
Yes,
what happened exactly. at work today?
Guess what, honey?
Now, yeah, would you ever think in your life to say, oh, and my limits are, please don't take it out of my mouth and bring it back.
And but now back I know.
Yes, don't give it back.
See, the only time you know that it's not for you is when somebody
like
does
when it
right?
happens.
I mean, I had where a man said to me, are you comfortable with rimming? And I'm like, yeah, that's mm-hmm. fine. But mm-hmm. I thought he was going to lick my bottom, you know? And then mm-hmm. he like turned over and he like spread his butt cheeks and he was like, go for it. And I'm like, oh no.
Oh, you mean the other way.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I actually stopped the scene. I was like, oh no. And he's like, what's wrong? I asked you. And I'm like, well, you gotta specify. Like you didn't say
who's doing what?
Receiver or giving. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's what I always tell people now. Know your limits and just express it. And if you're uncomfortable, just say it.
Is everything just verbal or does it have to be on paper?
So that's interesting. So if you have if your agency knows that like you won't do, you know, certain things, then they shouldn't send you on a scene that does that, you know.
Okay.
But once you get on set, and I have to tell you guys, in all honesty, I have to be honest, maybe twice in all the stuff that I've done, has anybody ever looked at me and said, do you have limits? Like which happened to me a couple days ago, you know. Mm-hmm. She looked at me and she said, what are your limits? And I wasn't really prepared for that. And I was like, nothing really, just don't beat me. You know, but now I know to say, okay, I'm not really into cum. Mm-hmm. Okay. I can pretend or whatever. You know, but you see, every woman's got their, and in anything that you do, right. You've got your talents, you've got what you're good at and you're not good at, mm-hmm. you know, when I get interviewed for a job, what am I good at? I'm great mm-hmm. people skills. I'm very organized. What am I not good
I'm
at?
I'm not good at taking cum.
I'm not good at taking cum. Can you imagine me? I go work for the Better Business Bureau. Oh yeah, and I can't take cum. But like, I'll tell them, like, I'm not good at accounting. Don't put me on payroll. So you got to know what you're good at and what you're not. So I may say, true. I can't deep throat. I won't take cum, but I can take anal like a champ and I can, mm-hmm. and I'm a squirter, you know, so watch out, you know, so whatever, you know what you're good at and what you're not.
The thing, said that.
I mean, that's really, this conversation.
It's really good that the industry is very protective in a sense that everyone's limits is respected.
You know, I have to say, you guys, I mean, and I said it before, and me, I really never had a bad experience. I really haven't. You know, I one time shot with a male and he was a jerk. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when we got back to the hotel, I called him out on it. You have to be a strong, powerful person, whether you're a man or woman. Okay. Mm-hmm. You either need to go to the director and say, I wasn't comfortable with that situation. Mm-hmm. Or in my situation, mm-hmm. I looked at this man and I said, you were a dick. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why. You've never met me. Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't do anything to you. And you treated mm-hmm. me and made me feel very uncomfortable. Now, if I wasn't a 30 something year old woman, I might not have the confidence to say
exactly.
this. But you do to me, to a 19 year old who's in this industry, mm-hmm. you could cause her to go home and commit suicide. Okay.
Because
you were very hurtful and awful.
Yeah.
So, and then he looked at me and apologized and explained why. Okay. But so my biggest thing is, you know, speak up. And be comfortable with who mm-hmm. you are. And there are, I've heard some horrible stories. There are bad, like I said, bad seeds and everything. Mm-hmm. Bad seeds in the swinger lifestyle, bad mm-hmm. seeds in politics, bad seeds and everything. And so you have got to be powerful and strong enough with yourself to speak up and say, this is what happened. And uh-huh. say no and say I'm uncomfortable.
And this is advice that can apply to any industry. Like if somebody's just running you ragged,
I mean, you guys think about sexual harassment suits. You're working in a regular business office. You know, you're mm-hmm. being sexually harassed by a woman's coming on to you, a man's coming on to you. It goes both ways, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got to speak up. Don't wait. This pisses me off. Do not wait till 20 years later and then come forward. No. Okay, come. There's enough, no. Advocate right now. I mean, I understand, you know, back in the day that maybe people, so, you know, it was an interesting story. I had Sharon Mitchell as a guest on my show and Sharon Mitchell shares a, you know, and I'm not, she shares a horrible story about something that she almost died from a fan. Okay.
Oh,
and the cops came to her apartment and you know what they said to her? Is this a trick gone bad? Okay, fuck you.
Oh,
fuck you. Okay,
what?
You know, and, yeah. And that's because she was portrayed as this porn star, druggy girl, you know, whatever. Mm, and yeah. You know, and it wasn't a trick gone bad. Mm. This was a fan that followed her home and almost killed her. And so, you know, and you just, I always tell people, you know, if you, whether you're a swinger in the community, you go to a playroom, you're in the, you know, you're a performer, you're a dancer, whatever you do, you're in an office, your boss is mystery. There's so much, you know, nonprofit organizations and places that you can go that we didn't have 15 years ago, 20 years ago, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that this is also
back in the day when there was VHSs and DVDs.
Yes.
Okay.
When you were doing VHSs. I think
this is also testament on, you know, your degree and how good of an actor you are. So as an audience, somebody watching porn, you are actors. So we see actors writhing and screaming and moaning.
Yeah.
How much of this is real or is it all acting?
So the answer would be it depends on the performer. Okay. So
okay. All right.
I personally, this is me, whether I'm webcamming or custom video, mm-hmm. or I'm on set, I'm really trying to enjoy it. I want to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I want to have a real orgasm. I don't want to fake an orgasm.
Can I?
Of course I can fake it. Okay.
You're an actor.
It's easier for a woman. I always think, you know, that's another thing.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, men get paid less than us. Okay. And I'm not okay with that.
Oh, okay.
I'm not okay with that. That's another thing I always talk about on my podcast. I'm not okay with that. A man has to get hard. Okay.
Yeah.
He has to. Mm-hmm.
There's no hiding
to make it. He has to try to make himself come, right?
Yeah.
We just, you know, have a hole and you go inside of it and we just, you know, and then we have to, you know, we can do a fake orgasm. I really try to, even if somebody buys a webcam show for me and it's a 15-minute show, if they come, I'm like, motherfucker, you need to wait for me because I'm like almost there. Okay. So wait.
Yeah.
Wait. Now, I don't really fake it. Have I been in scenes that I'm just not feeling it? Of course. And then you're there to do your job. And it is a job, you know, and everybody's different. You know, I show up. Hi, what are we doing today? What are the positions? What are the, you know, are we doing pretty girls? Blah, 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 blah. And then you're done. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Your check, your paperwork, and off you go. But I try to enjoy it. And I normally do.
How long does a workday last? Usually how many hours?
Again, depends on the company you're shooting with.
Depends
so like, so for example, the company that I'm going to shoot with tomorrow. Okay. So if I have a call time at 3:00, okay, hair and makeup is provided. Love you guys.
Nice.
Hair and makeup.
Okay. Nice.
So happy for you.
Yeah. So 3 to 4 that. And then male talents arrive at 4. And my guess is we'll shoot 4, 5, 6, 7. So it's almost 7 p.m. and we'll be out of there. Okay. So that's 3. That's 4 hours on set. But the company that I shot with 2 days ago, they shoot very what's called raw porn. No pictures, no scenery. No, I mean, one day when I first showed up, I learned my lesson. Here's another one. Anybody who's getting this in. Show up kind of in what you want to wear. Do not show up in comfy jeans because I showed up and I was like, oh, I have this dress and I have this dress. And he's like, no, I want that. And I'm like, no, I don't. No, this is my airplane clothes. And he's like, perfect. You know, and then I had to shoot in my jeans and I didn't feel pretty. I didn't feel sexy. And, you know, so that producer, you are, there's no pictures. You are in and out. There's, you know, he's like, just get on your knees and start sucking cock. And you're like, okay, am I saying, like, why am I here? And he's like, doesn't matter.
Right.
Sucking cock. There's no storyline, you know, like, oh, mommy wants to have these two boys.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I love that my stepson.
You
want to
get into it.
Yeah. So everybody's different, but realistically, you're on set most of the time about 4 or 5 hours. Remember, everybody's got a different cup of tea, right?
Yeah.
So
somebody
might like girl porn, right? Somebody might like gangbang. Somebody might like the facial, you know, beat you or whatever.
Yeah.
Somebody, everybody's, you know, somebody likes the white girl, the MILF. Somebody likes the TV. Somebody likes the BBW. And so it's kind of like the swinger community. When I started my club, sometimes people would say to me, you know, you could get some really good looking people in here if you didn't allow people like that to come in. And I'm like, people like, let me just clarify. You mean my respiratory nurse and my doctor? Like them?
Who look they're like real people.
Yeah, they're low class to you. You're not attracted to them. You know what? Let me show you the door. Okay. Because everybody likes something different. And that's what I do like about the industry now. If you notice the industry now, you can just have a cell phone and you can have your own Pornhub page or whatever.
Exactly. And cater to somebody who's into
always,
them.
Always. Yeah. Exactly.
There's always someone.
There's always someone, you know, I mean, my fans might not be somebody else's fans and some, you know, somebody else, everybody's got, and then you also like, you know, find your niche, you know, what are you good at? You know, I mean, me personally, I said this to the director the other day. The girl was like, you know, trying to make me come. I'm really not into like girl stuff. I'm just not. I mean, I can be. It depends, but it's not my thing. And I looked at the director and I go, maybe I could consider like being a lesbian. And he goes, no fucking ways, Coraline. You couldn't give up cock. And I go, yeah, you're right. You know, and he's right. He's right. I couldn't. No ways.
Talking about, what's your cup of tea though? What genre do you enjoy performing in the most?
Okay, that's a hard one. So in the industry right now, 99% I'm cast as a MILF character. Like I actually got
Well, you are. You're very, very.
I got cast as a grandma a couple weeks ago.
I saw that on Perv Nana. I was like,
yeah, it was so hot though.
I was almost offended. I was like, no.
You're hot. But
were you okay with that?
So at first I was like, oh my God, did I just get cast? But you see, like what it gave me the chance to act. And that's what I love. It gave me a chance to perform, right? I'm not just showing up and getting counted, right? Oh my God, it was so much fun. I couldn't stop laughing because I was like, you know, he's doing the camera and he's like, I have to mount it.
Yeah.
Mount it. You've gotten so strong. You know, it was so much fun. And I love that. I love to be able to challenge. I love to be able to act. So that's where I mostly get cast. When I'm like webcamming, stuff like that, I like to be the submissive. I like to be told that I'm a naughty little slut for them and stuff like that. Can I switch? Can I be your mistress and your dom and tell you to, you know, of course I can. I'm an actress. I can do it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'll pick if I get two shows that come in at the same time for webcamming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though one might be more money than the other, I'm going to pick the one that I'm going to enjoy more. I would rather pick the one where he wants me to be this naughty little sub that, you know, has to masturbate like a good girl and earn his cock versus the guy that wants me to tell him to beat himself up and eat his own cum. Cause I'm going gross. And I don't want to eat cum. I'll go.
Yeah. Not
you know?
Into
so,
it.
Yeah. So, you know, you're going to perform better. That's another thing I always ask people like for webcamming, you know, what are you looking for in a webcam video or a custom video? Because tell me first, because I want to give you the best product. And if it's something that I'm not good at, I'm going to say to you, you know what? I'm not the right girl for you because I don't want a bad reputation out there. So I got one coming in right now. How much for a 5 to 10 minute show? I only do 10 minutes and up, people.
Without getting into a lot of details, Coraline, I have to ask this. How is dating while in the industry? Do you even have time to date? Have you found like sustaining a relationship while working in the industry hard?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So that's another thing. Like I've got my book's out. I'm going on my second book right now. And my second book's focusing on the lifestyle. And then my third book's going to focus just on dating. My fourth is going to focus on, you know,
already
the
third book. So, wow.
Yeah, a fourth, all the way to the fourth.
I've got five series, but I'm only on series two right now because I have so much going on. I don't never get a chance to write. But what I was going to say was I've tried different things. I have tried meeting people on we would say meeting vanillas. Okay. So on a regular dating site and not telling them yet. Okay. So you meet them. What do you do? I'm a wedding planner. True. Okay. I owned a fitness company for kids. True. I'm a mother. True. Okay. You know, they know that. And then before I'm sexually active with anybody, I would then say, you know, there's something you need to know. Okay. And that's gone a lot of different ways. It's been like, oh, I can't do that. Or, oh, that's hot. And I accept it. But the fact is that my experience, vanilla world, they don't accept it. Okay. They just don't because there's still that jealousy of, oh, did you have better sex on set with him today? And you don't want to have sex with me you know? And so, but then I've tried dating in the swinger community and that hasn't worked for me either because, when I'm at my events, okay, I'm a host. I'm working. And so I don't think it's appropriate for me or my date or boyfriend to go and sleep with anybody else or, you know, whatever, because we're working. If that person comes to my party again and now we don't sleep with them, well, then they might be upset or hurt. And then they don't come to my party and therefore I've lost a community member.
Customer.
So it's been really, really, really hard dating for me. Really, really hard. And I just recently broke up with somebody because, you know, he says I'm very busy and he felt like I was scheduling him in, you know, and that's a hard thing too. You know, because I would say like, you know, with COVID, all my weddings moved to 2021, but I already had 2021 weddings booked. So now I'm doubled.
Wow.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so I'm very honest in my relationship. This is who I am. Go Google, go to my website, go to my podcast page, go to my Medium, go
it's
to
all there.
And then if you still want to date me for me, then awesome. Mm-hmm. But I don't want you to come back and say to me, I didn't know that you worked in a brothel. I didn't know. That's what was so I call it like a breath of fresh air for me to write my book and for me to finally come out with my story and for me to do what I do. I am a whole new woman and I feel this sense of power and I feel like I can empower other women and be like, you know what? You don't like what I do for a living? Yeah, anybody. Yeah. Be you. I mean, that's my whole, you know, my seminar that you saw, you know, it's finding your truth, okay? Mm-hmm. How am I going to accept somebody else to accept me as a porn star or running a swingers club, right? If I'm still hiding you it and I'm saying, don't tag me on Facebook and don't do this because I don't want these people to find out, right? It's enough, you know? Be who you are. You're not hurting anybody. You know, my kids know. They're funny. They're like, there's a package for you. And I'm like, can you open it? And they're like, no, it's made out to Corlin. And I'm like, okay, but everything's made out to Corlin. No, wait, I'm gonna look in there, you know? Or I'll say to them, can you guys explain to me Snapchat? Like there's like this premium. And they're like, don't you put your phone in my hands. Like they're funny. So, you know? I catch them watching porn and I walk in and I go, oh no. And they go, I'm not watching you. And I go, thank God.
So, oh, well, sorry, it's not you.
Right, exactly. But you see, so that's what I always tell people, you know, dating has been very hard. I've been divorced 11 years. Uh-huh. And I just met somebody not like a couple days ago. Like I literally just broke up with one and then I met somebody, but we'll see where it goes. But it's hard. It's a hard thing to date. A lot of people date in the industry. They date each other. I've never done
that. Is it hard because you're in the industry or just because you're busy? What's the biggest challenge for
For me, it's always been in the industry. Okay. So for example, I had a boyfriend. He knew everything. Okay. They always know everything. I don't lie. Okay, so I am who I am. I own a swingers club.
You're popular, Corlin. You're known in the Philippines.
Oh my God, that's crazy. That's another thing. You know, I'm so appreciative to my fans, and I really am, and I'm not a bitch, you know, but we get a lot of scammers and stuff too. But what I was saying, so I'm very honest with my partners. And then it really upsets me when I go to do a webcam show and I say at my show, you know, I'm like, had so much fun with you, love. I'll talk to you soon. Okay. And then they'll be standing at the door, love. Oh, you love him? Do you love him? And I'm like, oh my God, I call everybody love and sweetie. Like, that's how I am. You know, so anybody that knows me, like love and sweetie are my words, okay? Mm. My boyfriend will be my angel, okay? The only people that are my angels are my children. And if I'm dating somebody, that's my angel. Everybody else is my love, my sweetie. And there's the jealousy. And it's like, you have got to be. Oh, well, do you want to just go and play with him on it? Where does he live? You want to just jump on a plane and see him? I'm like, okay.
So okay.
Tough. And then you add my schedule right now. You know, you add the busy stuff that I'm into. Mm-hmm. I've got a lot going on. I'm doing a documentary.
Doesn't help.
That does not help. I know. Oh, I said you'll tell me.
Yeah, do you get how does that make you feel? Like in grocery shopping?
You know,
are you okay with that?
Well, okay. So I've only been recognized one time. Okay. And this was at the beginning of my career, actually. This was before I came back. And I was at a casino and I was with my friends who knew I was in the porn industry. Mm-hmm. And this man came over to me and he's like, oh my God, Corlin, please, could I have an autograph? And I go, I don't know what. And he's like, Corlin. And I'm like, what?
Did you forget?
No, I was trying to be like, I don't fucking know. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, come on, Corlin Jewel. And I'm like, who is that? And he's like, that's you. And I'm like, oh, she's that adult performer. I've heard I look like her. She's pretty. And he's like, please just give me an autograph. And I go, okay, just hurry the fuck up. Take, go walk away. You know, don't say anything. So I've only been, but you see, that was when I was still hiding it. Remember, I was still hiding it.
Okay.
Now, you know, come up to me. So if anybody's out there and you see me, come up to me. I'm not embarrassed. I'm me. I am. I'm a woman. I'm business educated. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm, you know, and I'm an advocate for it. And so I, you know, but back then, yes, I would have hid now. And then I've had like couples that I do their weddings. Okay. And then the groom will write me like months later and be like, I've been a fan of you. I knew when you were working my wedding that you were Corlin, but I couldn't say anything, but I masturbate to you. And can you send me a nudie picture? I'll tell my wife. And I'm like, that's not the way to do this because you want me to tell your wife? Like, I'll tell your wife that you're masturbating to her fucking wedding planner's picture right now. Like, you know, so I get that. I've had a couple grooms. I think I had somebody like I was at a wedding and like was one of the groom's men or something. And he's like, I know who you are. And I go, good, shut your fucking mouth. We're at a wedding right now. And I'm working, you know, so.
I think it's safe to say you're going to have a few more in the future.
You know, and that's, you know, that's the thing is like, you know, do I say to the brides when they call me? Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm happy to do your wedding. By the way, my name is Corlin Jewel and I'm a, you know, no. That's irrelevant. Mm-hmm. I'm five-star. Yeah. I'm five years in a row wedding planner, couples choice award winner.
Wow.
I've got, you know, over 45 five-star reviews. I'm a damn good wedding planner. So if somebody hires me and then you don't like the fact that I'm an adult performer, well, then you know what? Don't hire me. but you ain't gonna have a very good wedding because I'm a damn good wedding.
Yeah.
Let somebody else do your wedding.
Yeah. And it's like you said, it's irrelevant. It has nothing to do with wedding planning.
Exactly.
It's and that, it's like and that, what I had for dinner has nothing to do with it,
and that hasn't and that has to do with same thing with you know, if you are let's do another example. Okay. You are at my swingers event. You're with my, you're with your husband, your wife. That's too much to go into now, but there's so many different things about swinging. It doesn't just mean that, you know, a husband, a wife, or a boyfriend, a girlfriend have sex with, you know, it could be exhibitionist, voyeurism, whatever it is that your kink is, hot wifey. There's so many different things. So I have had people where they come to my events and they're like, oh my God, I have to go. That's my boss. That's my coworker. And I'm like, hello, they're here too.
They're here too. Exactly.
They're here too. And they're in the corner going, oh, fuck, that's my employee. You know, instead walk up and be like, hey, nice to meet you. You know, and then they're nice to see you here. And it's a mutual respect.
Yes.
You don't go back to the office and say,
you know, I saw. Yeah.
Because in your own home, in your own time, whether you are, you know how many businessmen are cuckolds, right? And they're in a chastity device and they want to be with, you know, because their comfort thing is, man, I'm always in control. I'm always the businessman, right? So this is a chance to get let go of reality and let somebody else control, which is why I say that my preference is to be a submissive, okay? Out in the real world, I'm business, okay? You call me a slut out in public, I'm going to knock you the fuck out, okay?
Yeah.
But in the bedroom,
go girl.
It's true though. People know they call me, they say I'm a feisty little thing they call me. They call me firecracker. But in the bedroom, I want to be your slut. I want to be your little submissive. I want to do whatever it takes to make you come. You know what I mean? I want to, but that's your my turn on, right?
Yeah.
Am I a bad, am I a bad person because of that? Because I want to be a slut in the bedroom? No. So.
I think a lot of people are, half of people are sluts in the bedroom if we're being
real.
Oh
my God.
I hope it's more than half. I mean,
it's more than half.
No, I think because half would want to be dominant and then half
interesting.
It's a safe.
Here's what's interesting. I'll get people that will come to me on webcam, you know, hey, do you offer, you know, I found you, do you offer shows? Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. What kind of show do you like? Well, I'm embarrassed to share with you because I, you know, it's really bad, you know, and I write them back and I go, you know, I used to say I've heard it all. I can't say that anymore because I've got other times people come to me and I'm like, whoa.
Try me.
What is that?
But most of the time when they come to me with their kink, I do chat agencies too. I work for Dr. Susie's Institute and I'm a chat agent. Mm-hmm. And they come to me and they'll tell me their kink. And I'm like, oh, honey, that's like 98% of the work I do. You know, like, you know, are you okay with mommy role play? And I go, I'm fine with mommy role play, but I'm your stepmom. And you're 18. Otherwise, I'm fine with that. You know, a lot of men, a lot of men have a panty fetish. They steal their mother's underwear or stuff like that, you know, and they're ashamed of it. And I'm like, you can't, you have to.
It's real. It's an Oedipus complex, I think.
Yes, and, you know,
it's been with us since the Greeks.
I'm sure even before that.
Right. I mean, it's interesting when I ask these, you know, some of my clients have been my clients for like 5-6 years. Okay. So webcamming your custom videos, but I'll ask them, I'm like, you know, now that we're friends, right. We're friends. When did you start like stealing your mom's underwear? And when I was 5 or 6 years old. And I'm like, really? Did you put it back in the laundry? No, I just trashed it. And I go, well, let me tell you something. Us women, we know what we wore during the week. And now your mom's probably wondering where the fuck
what happened to
they're expensive.
Yeah, you know? So now I'm,
that's
and then
true.
I have men that are grown men that'll go over, you know, for family dinner and they steal the underwear. And I'm like, put it back. We know.
Yeah.
It's
of Hollywood.
It's bad enough that we lose socks in the wash.
Right? Yeah. I promise you, I can be like.
Yes, panties, yes.
Wow, where's my black Victoria's Secret panties? I know I wore them under that dress on Tuesday.
That's true.
Men. And that's talking about crossing over, Coraline, are you able to use your training and discipline as an athlete in the porn industry in your work as a porn? Because I would think you'd be pretty agile.
And bendy.
Oh, God. I used to be way more flexible. Like, I'm like, fuck, I used to be able to do that. You know, all those things when you get older. I mean, I used to be able to wear like high heels and now I'm like, man, those things hurt like flip-flops, please. But
they do.
But I'll tell you where I use my training and my education. Okay. So discipline. Okay. Time, organizational skills, writing a to-do list. So being organized. So when I was ice skating, I'm up at 5 a.m. Okay. You're on the ice from 5:30 to about 7:30. Now you walk to school, you're in school, you come home, you go back to the rink. You have to organize your skating, we call it a stroking session, which is a speed skating. Okay. Dinner, your ballet,
homework.
Your strength training, your homework. And then you got to get your butt home and start all over. So you better have a schedule.
Wow.
You know, so I'm very good at that. And then I think that, me running.
Can you tell our listeners how many phones you have?
Just one.
Oh, just one? I thought you had one phone for different, like, everything that you do.
Of your life.
Two phone numbers. So a personal phone number. Okay. And then, but sometimes the other phone number, that's for my swingers club and for like modeling and porn. Okay. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I'll get the other number and they know my real name. And I'm like, what kind of, who are you calling for? What do you need?
Yes.
Like, well, is this the club? And I'm like the like hanky panky club. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay. So now this is somebody that wants to be a swinger in my community and somebody else has told them. To come. So just one phone, but I'll tell you what I do have too much of. And this is where I could use an assistant. Like you can't imagine and all the social media, right? You got your Instagram wedding company. You got your Instagram Coral and Jewel. You got your Instagram swingers club, and then you got your Instagram podcast, and then now you got all that in the Facebooks and the Twitters.
And so my TikTok son, like, and
I tried the TikTok. I was like, I can't. And I tried the Tumblr. I've had to put certain things aside because if you spend all your time like posting, you know,
exactly. Yeah. Oh, it's so difficult.
That's what he does for us.
And I don't know how to start.
If I could afford, so like Erica is my PR, okay, but she does. She does, what do you call it? Social media for me. Okay. Mm-hmm. But like, I always say, look, here's an example. I was on set for 2 days. It would be so nice to email those pictures or send them over to my social media manager. Okay. And say, here's where I am. Here's what I'm doing. Go, you do it. Okay. I've tried that. And, you know, my social media guy would be like, but Coraline, the only person that comes off good is you being you. And I'm like, okay, but you can fucking learn to be me because I don't have time, you know?
Yeah.
So that's my biggest thing. I've trained my son to do my podcast flyers. Okay. Uh-huh. But then, like I said to him, I'm like, I need you to go and do Mickey Lynn's flyer. Just Google Mickey Lynn, nothing nude and do it. And he's like, I'm not doing this for you anymore. I was like, hey, I paid $20 a flyer. It takes like a couple minutes.
That's a pretty good rate.
Yeah, so that's my thing. If I could get an assistant to help, nobody can write my book like me. Nobody can direct my documentary like me, right? Mm. Nobody can
Your
perform.
Story.
But could I get somebody to design flyers? Yes. Could I get somebody to edit my videos? Update my website. Social media. Those are the things I need help with. So I'm taking applications. I pay with blowjobs. That's so bad. No. You know what's so funny? I have to cover my ass on that quickly. At my swingers club, people go, oh my God, are you going to play tonight, Miss Hanky Panky? And I go, maybe, we'll see. And then at the end of the night, they're like, you didn't play. And I'm like, I owe you a blowjob. And it's like the joke of the community is when I say that, somebody goes, don't get too excited. She owes 7,892. And then you hear somebody else go,
pick a number and fall in line.
It's like my biggest joke. I'll give you a blowjob. I'm not good at it, but I'll give you one. That's what I tell performers. Don't get involved in the drama. Okay. You go to work, you do your scene, you
Focus.
Get out.
Be
you hear something, I mean, be professional. Don't be drunk on set. Don't be doing drugs on set. Don't talk shit about other performers or direct. Don't, you know, unless it's something that was dangerous, then you need to speak up and say, I was put in this situation, you know?
Yeah.
But so that's the biggest thing that there's drama. But that's in everything. It's in everything.
Again, applies to every industry. You know, I'm the porn industry.
Even
just
in
like,
families, there's drama.
It's so. Another job.
Yeah. Oh my God. My biggest drama is my biggest drama is that my father read my book. Okay. Remember, he knows everything. Okay.
Yeah.
He knows. Read my book. I call him. I said, I'm back from Mexico. He says, I can't speak with you right now. I read your book. I go, I'm sorry, what? He says, can't speak with you. I read your book. I go, you just read my number one international best-selling book that's dedicated to you, but you can't speak with me right now. When can you? Well, after I get a meeting with my therapist, that's Friday. Oh, okay. I get it. You know, and to me, it's like, what the fuck just happened? Like, you know, and that's a battle. Family issues, drama battle.
Yes.
You know, it's everything. Just be you. Be you. Be proud of who you are. I mean, when you guys read my bio, I was like, wow, that's pretty fucking good.
Yes, of course, as you should be.
Yeah, and Coraline, this is one of the the main reasons why we wanted to have you on is because you talk about body and sex positivity, and this is something that a lot of Filipinos struggle with, and it's not just that we are taught that in our families to be ashamed of our bodies. Our bodies have our private parts have nicknames. Our private parts have nicknames.
So like,
we're not
as a
comfortable
child,
with our
no walking. Like as a 7-year old child, you don't walk into mom's room if she's naked in the bathroom like that. Okay.
No.
Yeah.
So you've always been comfortable about sex and your sexuality? And is this the way that you were raised as well?
No. So that's an interesting question. I mean, when I look back on my childhood, I never got the talk like, you know, if you choose to have sex, you need to use condoms, or I never got that. Okay. It wasn't that like I could walk in, my dad could be showering and I could walk in and like be like, Dad, I want to know what time dinner is. And he's like, I'll cook it for you. And I'm like, how do we get out of the shower? You know, and it was never like, oh my God, I saw Dad naked or I saw Mom naked. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's nothing like that ever. But I don't remember really ever being told that I could go to them to discuss, like, I'm thinking about having sex with my boyfriend and I, you know, mm-hmm. that was never there. So that's a hard one. But like, what I tell my kids, listen, okay, I know you've been with your girlfriend a year and a half, so I'm going to assume you're having sex. Okay. And I, you know, use condoms. Don't be having sex in a car, please. I'd rather you mm-hmm. here. Be safe here.
Yeah.
You know,
that's like, actually what psychologists say, that parents yeah, should so, have a room. Yeah.
You should. Well, so in other words, you want your children to be able to come to you at any given time and tell you what they're thinking. Or I made a big mistake. I'm at a party. I'm drunk. I smoked pot. I'm going to throw up and I'm hallucinating. Come get me. Are you angry? Of course you're angry, but that's your child. Okay. So you go, you bring him back, and then you sit down and discuss the situation. So my kids are amazing. They will contact me and say, I'll give you an example. I got a message the other day. It was my younger one. He says, I want you to know there's an Instagram group chat going on. There's this kid that wants to fight me. Okay. It's very likely that he's going to fight me today at lunch. I'm not going to go looking for him, Mom. Okay. I'm not. Okay. But if he comes to me and he pushes me and he touches me, I am going to defend myself like you taught me. Okay. Yes. And so I, you know, wrote him back and I said, okay, don't tell Dad, don't tell the school. And I'm like, okay, well now we have a problem because I have to. Right. But my whole point is that kid has enough guts to come to me and tell me. And so I don't want to betray his trust where he's going to be like, I'm never going to trust you again. Right.
Yeah.
So you have to have that relationship with your children where they can come to you. And I've had other stories with them where they come to me and I'm like, oh no, that's not what you want to do. You want to do this, right? Yeah. They're comfortable enough to come to me. So you should establish that with your children. And the body shaming, that's where suicide comes. What's the suicide rate in Philippines? I'm curious.
It's pretty high.
Is it high?
It's pretty high. Mel and I were diagnosed with clinical depression.
Yeah,
and
we
both self-harmed last year. And that's also something that we want to talk about in this podcast, that those are things that are considered taboo. We want to normalize conversations about mental health, depression, suicide, sex, sexuality, non-traditional.
It's like taking on everything.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, you see.
But we're survivors.
I didn't know. That's amazing, you guys. Mm-hmm. Because that's I think the biggest thing is that the more that we scrutinize the adult industry or you know any of this, okay? You know, being pansexual, being asexual, being coming out as homosexual, whatever it is, okay? The more that you make somebody feel that's wrong, okay?
Yeah.
You're very, very likely to cause that person to take their own life if they don't have the strength and the power to go to someone for help or whatever it is and seek it. And that's another thing on my podcast. I've had some amazing kink psychologists and people that work with people, you know, in different kinks and this and that, to be able to give people that, you know, acceptance. And that's a big thing. Yeah. We've lost a lot of people the past 2 years in the adult industry. A lot of performers.
Wow.
From bullying, from this online social media bullying.
It is crazy. I mean,
interesting. Well, you can put my face out there and tell them to come to me because I'm a little fucking firecracker. That's me. I'm the firecracker. Yeah, I mean, it's enough. It's enough with the judgment.
There's just so much online. Yes. That's true. That's true. It's crazy. God, it's crazy.
A quote that you said during an interview, and I'll quote you with your permission. You said that I am a good person, and although many will judge my story, even after reading it, I am proud of the woman that I am, the mother that I am, the daughter that I am, the sister that I am, and the friend that I am. I am me, Coral and Jewel, and I stand behind my name and the woman that I am today. Yeah. For my last question, Coraline, do you still get dick pics? Do men still send you dick pics?
Deal with that. I'm sure they assume that.
Oh my god, Mel! I just fell in love with you. I'm coming to the Philippines to hang out with you. You and I are doing great. That was fucking funny. She's like, "What is the deal with that?" Okay, so you know what's interesting? Yes. Okay, I get them. When I do get them, I really just ignore them. Absolutely. Okay. 99% of the time, I just ignore. I don't even block them. I just ignore. You know, I just don't respond. Or they'll send me like masturbating things on Instagram. I go. Now, if I'm having a bad day and you just happen to hit me on a bad day, I will blast you all over Facebook. So if you go look at my Facebook, I screenshotted a guy that, like, he doesn't, you know, he just, you know, writes me and says, you know, I think it's time that you send me a sexy picture. And I was like, really? Because who the fuck are you to deserve a goddamn sexy thing? And I just destroyed him, you know, and everybody, you know, I posted the screenshot and everything. So it depends on my mood. But I will say this, when a man like compliments me, like, you know, I just want to tell you, you're beautiful. I'm a fan. And then I write back, thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. Mm-hmm. If they come back with like a photograph of them and it's not a dick picture, I go back and I say, and thank you for not sending a dick picture, you know, because yeah. I want men to know sometimes, like, here's the thing, guys, men, listen. Do you really want me to take the camera and stick it inside of my vagina and show you what my ovaries look like? Because I can, you know what I mean? I mean, you know, and that's, so if I'm in a bad mood, I'll write back and I'll go, hang just one moment. I'm trying to find my fallopian tubes. I'm going to take a picture for you. Like, come on, man. We don't want to see it. You know?
I mean, but it's bad enough for normal people who, right, to obscure people. It's bad enough. And I'm sure it's worse for someone like you in the industry where yeah. people just assume things well about known. You.
Mm. Oh, yeah. They assume
that because you know you're in the industry.
But you know what's interesting? So I've got, you know, I'm single, right? And mm-hmm. out dating. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't give a shit what your dick looks like because, hello, I'm a porn star. I can have whatever I want. Okay. But,
yeah, no.
But I have girlfriends. Here's what's interesting. I have girlfriends that are out dating and they'll be like, what do you think of him? And I'm like, well, what does his face look like? I don't fucking care. Look at his fucking dick. And I'm like, mm-hmm. you want that? And they're like, yeah, I got to know what I'm working with. And I'm like, okay, but wait, what? Because I'm going, I need to know what I'm working with. Like, will it fit in my butt? Like, you know, that's like, yeah. what I'm working with that. I'm like, you really want the dick picture? And they're like, oh yeah, I'm playing the field. I mean, if he doesn't have what it takes, I'm not going to sleep with him. And I'm like, wow. So everybody's got a different cup of tea.
That's
true. I might not want your dick pic. Some other girls like, I'm not even going to. Oh, I see your dick. I'm like,
that's wow. true.
Corlin, yes. It was wonderful having you.
We have a lot of Filipinos so
in California. There's a lot okay. of, they're one of the yeah. largest minorities. So maybe invite our listeners to your podcast or any other ventures yeah, that you
well,
might have. Yeah,
well, definitely we can cross, you know, cross reference and stuff like that. And I extend the invite to you. And I mean this, if you're ever out in Southern California, please reach out to me. I have a home. I have extra bedrooms and it would be my pleasure.
Oh, that would be so lovely. That's amazing.
I mean it. What's I mean, this I don't COVID say anything thing? I don't mean.
Is over and airports are back yeah. open. Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
Oh, well, I extend it, but I would love that.
And thank then
I wrote down the email to send you guys shortly about who you can contact.
Yes.
So listen to Coraline's podcast. It's the Hanky Panky podcast. It's everywhere where you, yeah, you listen to your podcast and you're traveling all over the country on these expos, right? And you have your CBD lube that they can order. You're a sister to us now. You're a kindred spirit to us now. So please reach out to us if there's anything that we can help you with. If you're ever doing 100%. Any of your seminars in the Philippines, please consider that.
Yeah.
We need the sex positivity seminars. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That would be amazing. And I extend the same invite back to you. You guys will love, I'll send you the information. I've got a blog coming out in 2 weeks. And it's
I've been reading your blog. Okay? Yeah.
Yeah, I've got my blog. So this is an interesting
How
one.
Much sleep do you get in a day?
No, I don't think I'm going to sleep tonight because I've got a lot to do. And goodness. I'm going to try. But I was going to say very quickly, my blog, I've taken, it's called Reflections, and it's every single guest that I have had on my podcast. And my story is all about what each and every single one of them have taught me. And so, and how many amazing friendships I've made. And so I extend, again, I say to you guys, like, you're my friends as well. And thank you for having me.
You have just been served. This has been the Balut Kiki Project. Uniquely Pinoy, unapologetically queer. We are now declaring this project complete. Are we off air yet? Because these hills are killing me.
Thank you for clicking play. Don't forget to subscribe or follow on your favorite podcast streaming platform. And leave us a 5-star rating if you enjoyed the show.